Blog Talk Radio.
Of this
time. And, of course, they didn't have any other time on their calendar. They couldn't see anything further beyond 2012. So what's your take on this, George? What do you think?
Let me just try to keep it within the period right now.
Yeah.
Because we know that there's been abnormalities on the sun that's been going on for a while. And a lot of the planets have shifted polarity, which we're going into a polarity shift right now, and
yeah.
a polar shift, a polar change. And what happens with that is that there's a lot of magnetic or a lot of electrical distortions.
Right.
I'm going to try to answer this the best I can, but there's a lot of factors here that are coming into play. And that's what concerns me is how they're being played out right now and how we react to them.
Yeah.
Now, we are under a high level of sunspot activity or sun activity. And
right.
Leo, you and I were talking about, you know, this final period. The end of the ninth wave was December the 1st, I think, of last year. And that basically started the countdown to December 21st, 2012. And it's more than 365 days from
right.
December the end to the end of the time zone. But the Mayans talk about it's the last of the lunar cycle, which is 13 months, not 12 months, but 13 months. And that's what we're experiencing right now. Now, I read somewhere, I'm not really sure of this, but on the 8th and 9th of this month, February, which was a period within this lunar month, a lunar period that had some significance. And I was reading one place where it had to do with a massive event, spiking of activity here in the Earth. And the only thing I could put my fingers on what was happening in those days was that there was a massive solar ejection that was released, or it was hitting the Earth on those days. I wasn't sure. I got the tail end of the information on that. But apparently it marked the time that we would notice. And I think the problems we have now is the electrical bombardment of energies. Now, in understanding how this polar shift has taken place, a few things are happening to us. First of all, the Earth is slowing down. It's not going as fast as it was, and time is slowing down. And we have two energies that come into play here. One is electrical energy, which is energy that Tesla talked about, was physical matter. That is energy, and it's all a light. And there's another energy which is 90 degrees to that, which is electromagnetic energy. You don't see it, but you know it's there.
Right.
So all I can say is imagine that the Earth itself, as it's slowing down, is losing its magnetic energy around it, its movement, with its movement. So we have a deplete of electromagnetic energy. And what that does is actually holds information. So that is going on right now. And once the energy shifts, what will happen, the Earth will shift and the magnetics will shift from 180 degrees. What does that mean? Well, understanding that everything in our universe, as we see it, spirals, it spirals to the right and spirals to the left. And in this polarity world, three-dimensional, or the physical world, we have two energies, one going right and one going left. So what's happening is on the energies that circulates to the right is the more of a male energy. That's the physical energy. That's rock. And the energies that flow to the left are magnetic. Well, so if you want to put it in other terms, the magnetic to the right, gravity, Earth, is
Well, if I can help you with this, I just wanted to read this quickly. It says, it's from a website called December 21st, 2012.com. It's kind of interesting what he says. And it says, the Mayan prophesies that from 1999, we have 13 years to realize the changes in our conscious attitude to stray from the path of self-destruction and instead move on to a path that opens our consciousness to integrate us with all that exists. And then it says, the Mayans knew that our sun, or Kinich Ahu, every so often synchronized with the enormous celestial galaxy. And from this central galaxy received a spark of light which caused the sun to shine more intensely, producing what our scientists call solar flares, as well as changes in the sun's magnetic field. The Mayans say that this happens every 5,125 years, but also that this cause is a displacement in the Earth's rotation, and because of this movement, great catastrophes would be produced. That is, the Mayans believe that the universal processes, like breathing of the galaxy, the cycles that never change. What changes is the consciousness of man that passes through it, and always in a process toward more perfection. And based on their observations, the Mayans predicted that from the initial date of the start of their civilization, which was 4 Ahu 8 Kumku, which is 3113 BC, after one cycle being complete, 5125 years in their future, 51,125 years in the future, December 21st, 2012, the sun, having received a powerful ray of synchronizing light from the center of the galaxy, would change its polarity, which would produce a great cosmic event that would propel humankind to be ready to cross into a new era. In the Golden Age, it is after this that the Mayans say we will be ready to go through the door that was left by them, and transforming our civilization based on fear to a vibration much higher in harmony. And it kind of goes on, but only through our individual efforts could we avoid the path to great cataclysm that our planet will suffer to start a new era in the sixth cycle of the sun. The Mayan civilization was in the fifth cycle of the sun, and there were four other great civilizations before them that were destroyed by great natural disasters. They believed that each cycle was just one stage in the collective consciousness of humanity. In the last cataclysm of the Mayans, the civilization was destroyed by a great flood that left little survivors, of which were their descendants. And they believed that having known the end of their cycle, mankind would prepare for what is to come in the future. And it is because of this that would have preserved the dominant species, the human race. They say that coming changes will permit us to make a quantum leap forward in the evolution of our consciousness to create a new civilization that would manifest great harmony and compassion to all humankind. And it kind of goes on, but you know, that's basically what we've been saying and what we've been talking about you were talking about it last week, what we believe we see, or what we see we believe, or what we believe we see. Remember, you said
yes.
that. So that basically.
I'll believe when we see it, but it's the believe and you'll see. That's what I said.
Yeah, it's believe and you will see, and that's essentially what they're saying, that we can create this new world, but that the Mayans, I guess, have left the door open for humanity to walk through and to be able to see that. And I guess maybe by pinpointing, you know, 2012 as the time, then, you know, maybe it is the time, you know, it's making us at least aware of it, you know, conscious of it, of the possibility. And
I think it's more than the awareness. Everything is on this move, and everything is ratcheting down.
Yeah.
All cycles, they're ratcheting down together.
Yeah.
So I can go into, you know, these magnetic changes that we've gone through, you know, over millions of years. It's happened many, many times. And the last time this happened was 1972. But understand that, you know, for the prophecies, they're talking about the earth stopping for 3 days and then starting up again. But, you know, this has happened.
They claim it happens, what, every 5,125 years?
No, that's not true.
Well, that's what they said, but, you know, that last big change was where, you know, the last cycle was the 5,125 years ago.
5,113. You read there, but it's 5,114.
3,113 or so, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the start of the last Mayan cycle. So that's what we're on right now. And that is the last cycle.
If you add, another 2,100 years or 2,000-something years, I don't know.
Don't mix this up with the precession of the equinox, which is 26,000 years.
Right. No, I'm just saying that it started in 3113, so...
3114.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, then I don't know. So the numbers, I guess the math works, 5125, but at the same time, if we're going through this, George, I mean, I don't know. We're supposed to be going through this. It says, so we come back to what they call the time of no time. And you've mentioned this before. And it's the evolutionary period, short but intense, inside the grand cycles where great changes take place to thrust us into a new age of evolution as individuals and as mankind. And then it says, as individuals, we will have to make decisions that will affect us all. And if we continue on this negative path of hate, an eye of an eye, and destruction of nature, of fear, and egoism, we will enter straight into the time of destruction and chaos, and we will despair or disappear as the dominant race of the planet. If we become conscious and realize that we all form part of the great organism, and that we should represent one another and be grateful to our planet, then we will move directly into positive growth, our golden age. And it says, our planet, the sun, and galaxy are awaiting our decision. It is up to us what will happen in this time of change, and whether we go through a time of suffering and destruction, or we find ourselves united in one positive consciousness.
See, what you're doing here is you're separating this whole thing, good and bad. If you don't do this, you don't do that.
Well, I'm just reading this. I'm not saying.
That's the problem. That's the fallacy. You understand? They're both. They're both part of the understanding that you have to have the positive and the negative.
I understand
at the same time.
George.
But it's where you what you attach yourself to.
Exactly.
You know, they talk about the Earth, the negative stuff that's going to happen, and the earthquakes and so forth. It is going to happen. But this is a fractal of a reality where everything and anything is happening at the same time.
Right.
So whatever your focus is,
it doesn't say it will. It just says it could, depending on
it will. There's no matter of could. It will. If there's energy.
It just said it will have. It can either way can happen depending on how
it will.
The world needs.
No,
you know,
it will. It's not that it may be. It will.
Yeah.
So
what
it's
will?
A matter of where you're putting the energy. Are you? I mean, are you going to go with the will or the not? And you know, it's your choice. But it's a polarity move. But understand, one is not better than the other.
Whatever you decide, you'll follow that line,
and that will manifest, and that will continue.
But, I mean, if I keep saying, yeah, God's love, you know, I'm going to send boom, 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 then maybe I will. But if I say, we're going to go fight wars and stuff, then that's what we're going to do, too. So,
down to basics, and that's what we're in right now of co-creation, because we're at a point where we have the powers and the energies to manifest any kind of illusion or fantasy that we have. And that's part of this.
That's really true.
This
I agree with you, George. I think we're there. I think we already have had it for some time, but
you can't have that separation of the duality.
Now, there's one other really important thing, and I think you've mentioned it before. I know you have a number of times on the show. Is the merging of feminine energy with masculine energy, all right? And in this period of time, what's happening? And I just read this, which was really fascinating. In this time period, we will be seeing. This is the time when our energies reunite, but actually unite. All right, where. Like you said, where the polarities are no longer. And this is what something I read this thing today, and I was hoping I could get it back, but it was really good. And it was talking about this this aspect of 2012, where we become one, you know, in that nature. And our masculine and feminine energies work together to create a personal harmony, a personal, you know, whatever.
Understand that the functions are the same, but they're different at the same time. It's just like the energies we vibrate at different harmonies or different frequencies. And I'm not saying that that's bad. It's just different. I mean, a woman and a man are two separate beings. We still walk the same life path, but we all resonate in different frequencies. And that's why women, females can produce than we can. But understanding that the DNA and the genes that they have, we also have. So, it's just maybe the power is on the other side of the fence, you know, in one life or another. But understanding you have the potentials and the energies the same as a female would have, as a male. Right now, you're just not exercising, full potential on that, let's say, on that level, but that's why, you know, you have bisexual choices and differences in our natures. It's all within us to be male or female. So I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I think what's being played out here is that that is coming into play. And whatever we feel or we think, first of all, we would be able to manifest just by using the mind or using the heart, the emotional body, where we could manifest something. And it's a matter of of becoming part of that reality. Just like we attract, you know, we attract who we are and what we are, and believe that, you know, the illusion that you see is something you manufacture. And I'm a legend in my own mind, you know, along with everybody out there, but understand that's what we're going through right now, and that's what's happening right now in these last 8 months we have. That, you know, whatever we believe, you know, it's happening, and, you know, we are co-creating, you know, a new life, and this is changing every day as we go on, and you'll see that if you go back 2 weeks or 2 months or a year, that you're a different person. Different person in the sense your wants, your needs, your likes are different. It's not that they're 180 degrees different, but they're different. And that is because of the options and the awareness that we have with the energy fields. And we cannot, it's like seeing electrical light. You know, we see not only 100%, but we can also see 150%. And our eyes were never open to that. And I'm saying, watch out, because we're going to see 200, 300, 400, 500%, and it's coming in a matter of months. So, you know, it comes to a point where you're not going to need that anyways. And I'm watching this whole reality being played out and completed. And the Mayans talk about the Fibonacci series, its final series being played out. And you know, I can comprehend that from a physics point of view, but we are transcending, I think, that a wall of time and movement, and you know, it's like being able to live in non-movement lineal time.
Well, I think I that makes sense to me.
Well, it doesn't to me. I wish it did, damn it. I tell you, it's going so damn quick now. I don't know what to believe. I honestly don't. But I know that every trip that I make or a drive that I make, it's different from the time before it and the paths that I take. They're just different. I see more of it. You know, it's like the coloring of a picture. You never notice it until you have a bright light on it. But it's like I don't have to look for things like this. It makes itself known to me. And
well,
that's
you know,
what you were saying before, you know, seeing is believing. Believing, I believe that things are changing, and I'm seeing it. And it's remarkable. It's, you know, I don't have to put any work into it. That's what I like about it. And it's getting better. So I just got to watch what I hope for, what I think for.
I think you're right, George, because I've noticed my own self, my own mind has been collecting memories that and seeing things that I hadn't seen before, but or had, but had totally forgotten. It's like things are coming back to me, rushing back to me for some reason, memories and that were, I thought were long gone. But at the same time, we have a tendency to repress our memories, you know, as human beings, and unfortunately, and you know, I think I've repressed many of my own memories over the years. But this is a time when I'm struggling to try to forget, you know.
But I don't think
so much is resurfacing now from years and years ago, and many are becoming very vivid, you know. So I don't know if they're real or not real, truly, or if they're just partly real or what they are, but they seem to be flooding toward me in the last year, the rest of this, since the last 5 or 6 months. I'm sorry, George, gotta continue.
I believe that I can remember anything and everything that's happened in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like there is a recorder somewhere down there in my head or even subconscious.
Yeah,
that, you know, that takes notes of everything. And I've always said that I can go back and remember, and it's through the emotional feelings of that thought that I hold on to, which lets me do
that. Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's not only that, but it's pictures. You can see the pictures in your mind. You can see the image.
I'm looking at it from a spiritual being. I mean, it's like something was brought into my essence, and it's something I'll never forget because it's part of the reality that I'm here to experience.
That's true.
You know, it's like if I want to know about something, all I have to do is focus in on the energy fields, and I could find out everything I want about it. But I really think, and I believe this, that I remember everything and every place I've been. And the only hard part about it is remembering every bits about it. But if you put yourself in the right situation, you can remember. And you remember more than other times, but the memories are still there. And I believe they're held within the muscles of the body. And that's where the energy is stored. And I want to jump for a minute, if I can, Leo. And you're talking about the magnetic shifts or the shifts in polar shifts.
Yeah.
There's something else I wanted to bring up here, and what happens when you have a situation like that, where you have rock, and what happens? Rock, it like flows like Jell-O. I mean, it becomes like taffy. I mean, imagine hot rock, like lava rock.
Yeah.
Not being hot, but having no direction other than just flowing freely. And that's what happens when you take the electromagnetic away from that, because the electromagnetic gives it either its polarity, its north polarity or south polarity. If it has no direction, that matter is I'm talking about, you know, it will just flow like water.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you have these polar shifts like this. And it's also the same thing that happens to us, just like our electrical storage banks in our brain. We've talked about erasing our memory, just like a computer. And that's basically what happens. What happens is that we have to restore a magnetic field or a software program around our own mind when this happens. But also the Earth itself has its own electrical fields that it has to align with. And that's why, you know, you have a lot of these distortions in geology, you know, besides the tectonic plate theories and so forth, that, you know, it does happen. And, you know, the different layers of crust, of magma, you know, with volcanic activity. But I think part of these geological changes we're going to experience is not only with volcanic activity, but also with magnetic activity or less magnetic activity, because that has so much to do with holding our planet together, gravity as one factor, but also its rotation, you know, within our solar system. So that's one thing I think I'm looking for when we have these magnetic distortions, that it causes effect on not only physical nature, but also our mind, the way we think, and a psychology of a nation, of a world, you know. And, you know, besides the sun activity, you know, I'm watching, I'm also watching, you know, how people react to mood swings and to different things, just like this Whitney Houston dying a couple days ago. It's a shame, but to see how the wave of emotion is come across this land, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess what's fascinating about that is the when you see the unity consciousness being prevailing, like through all the social media, the internet, you know, the mainstream media, whatever. Everybody seems to be focusing on that, on one on one area. Either they focus on a sad thing or a happy thing or death of somebody or, you know, things like that. But it all leads to a unity consciousness, you know, whether it's a good or bad emotion. But, you know, it's a time when everybody talks or feels, you know.
Yeah, but what are they talking about? What's being talked?
No, it's when everybody, I mean, we all talk about all kinds of different things all day long. And we all feel different things all day long. But suddenly when something like this, like, you know, when you have, like, somebody like Whitney Houston, who has such a remarkable talent, you know, and a remarkable gift, and she could sing. I mean, I remember after she passed away the other day, I was singing that crazy song there. I'll always love you.
Didn't take much to influence you, yeah.
No, but, you know, that song kept going through my head, and it's like, what a wow, you know.
Well, it was a wonderful song.
It was a beautiful, beautiful song. That thing, that song was on the, was the top song for 20 weeks.
And the sad part, it got even more play after she died, you know.
Well, it did, but it's like, you know, aside from that, it's just that when something strikes you like that, you know, it's like it touches the world.
It's like a universal.
It's a universal emotion, you know, and you have somebody like her who could carry that emotion in
but
her
I
voice.
Did.
You just, you know, it's just a remarkable.
But Leo read an interesting quote yesterday to me. Millions cry for Whitney, but nobody cries for the millions.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good thing. That was an interesting thing.
What do you think of that, George?
I don't know what to think.
Well, there's a picture. A friend of mine sent it on Facebook there, and it was...
The way the media directs your sorrow, they direct your outrage, they direct everything. So now they've directed, like, a mass sorrow toward Whitney Houston. I don't mean in any way to diminish what happened to her. I think it's awful, and I feel badly about it. But there are millions and millions of people
suffering daily,
suffering today,
dying,
and are suffering in this country, and nobody cries for them.
No, in fact, they don't even.
Congress acts to try to hurt them continually.
Even more, and they don't even, and the news just ignores them. You know. So, you know, and the media ignores them, and, you know, so it's like...
I just thought it was an interesting quote.
Yeah. It's like
I just feel bad that a woman had to take drugs and drown herself in a bathtub to bring people's attention to it.
Yeah. But
it's the sad part about it, but, you know, it's part of the role that entertainment goes through. I mean, take a look at Michael Jackson, and I'll tell you, I'm not a crazy lover of his moral character, but understand, you know, maybe in the entertainment world this is accepted, but, you know, there's more to life than, you know, leaving this world in a state like that, but sometimes you just got to pull yourself out of it. Some people can. That's all right.
Right.
But it's not something to glorify or to idolize, and I think that's the problem where people do, and, you know, I wish that I couldn't have or I have what she has, and you know, that will never happen. But in the meanwhile, you know, it's not right.
It's like through the magic of music, you can have a part of that. You know, you can own a part of that for yourself, so you can hear it and play it over and over again,
been singing that same song over and over. Leo does have a nice voice, though.
No, I don't have a voice like Whitney Houston, believe me. But,
but you have a nice
voice. She had a voice.
Not
about it, no.
She had a voice like an angel, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nobody had a beautiful voice
just
like that.
That. You know, it's stuff that you just tell me. You hear it. You hear the song, you know, and you hear it in your head. And you say, wow, what a beautiful song that was. And you respect the artist who presented it, and I do that, but I really feel that is above. That's what we're talking about. Is she somehow through her music was able to connect to the population, to a massive number of people, which created that unity consciousness around that artist, but mostly around that song, you know.
And around,
if you say Whitney Houston, people might not even know who it was. But if
and
you
around,
say,
no, they're gathering
song,
Leo around her gift.
Yeah,
it's her gift. I mean, that is genuinely a God-given gift.
I think you're right. And
that
the tragedy
was just
of the squandering
of that gift.
But at the same time,
it's a huge tragedy.
But at the same time, you say stronger. I say that maybe a gift like that is extremely
could be a burden too.
Hard.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean the burden of having a gift like
that. I don't
that.
Have gifts like that, so,
so that,
I can't
so
imagine
that,
what it must be like.
Because what it was like for her to lose her voice for a while and then
try to come back,
and not only that, but the pressure upon a star like that, who has that kind of gift, the human toll, my God, or they have to, you know, if you can, I mean, any artist, if they can hit the perfect note or write the perfect song once in their life, you know, they're doing well. You know, but you take somebody who has to go back out each night, you know, maybe 100 or 200 nights a year, and hit those notes again and again and again.
Perfectly.
I mean, what a burden. What a burden. Yeah. What an incredible burden it is to them. And
I feel bad that she was used.
Yeah.
Her death was used.
Yeah.
I think to promote
used.
Whatever itinerary,
so, you know, it's
agenda
like that.
That, you know, they're following. What bothered me is that I used to, I watched the news, and they're all dressed in black. And it's like for 3 days now, you know, everybody's mourning Whitney Houston. And you don't hear about what's going on in the rest of the world. And it's pathetic because it actually, it's an excuse.
Yeah, it's like they did with Michael Jackson. For crying out loud, for 3 months, all you heard was Michael Jackson's death.
Or a tsunami
Then they'd have this huge memorial in Madison Square Garden or something, you know. So it's like, you know, I don't give a crap if the guy died. He's dead. Goodbye. You know, but I don't need 3 months of it. And then 3 years. What's it been? Has it been 3 years now? You know, and the doctor has finally, you know, been found guilty. I mean, that thing got dragged through the mud for 2 or 3 years, however long he's been dead. And then they're going to do the same thing to this one, because it's sensationalism and it's easy news, all right? So you know, and the news media, you know, their whole thing
is lazy.
Not only lazy, but they love distractions away from any real news, all right? And that's when they wind up slipping these bills, you know, in Congress underneath. And the next thing you know, you find out they authorized massive surveillance on you, you know, on your personal lives, or they're going into another war or something, you know. So, but that's what the news does to us. It just destroys our, with stuff like this, it creates this massive distraction, and you don't hear any news. And that's why shows like what we do, I mean, I think are critical, even though, you know, we don't get millions of listeners every day. We definitely do get.
Well,
listeners.
We're not promoted.
And we're not promoted every day by mass media. So because of that, we don't get that kind of coverage. But we do get, we definitely do get listeners. And because of that, I think that's what our thrust is. I mean, that's why we have to do what we do, because the people got to get news somewhere, you know, that they don't hear anywhere else.
Among your friends, George, what have they been saying about this recent tragedy?
Well, I haven't really talked to anybody about that. I really haven't.
Nobody's really said much.
No, he hasn't really talked.
I haven't really really talked to anybody who is interested in to be truthful. You know, I'm kind of sheltered up here, and I got other things going on. But you know, I'm just it's a conversation piece, I think, in just trying to find the news, because you know you can't find the news on TV. And
no.
I have to say it, sometimes I have to go to Russian TV, Russian news, to find out what's going on in the world, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
And of course the internet, I don't watch TV, the news any, because there's nothing worth viewing. And even though I caught, you know, Whitney Houston's story, but to be truthful, there's more to my life than just watching 2-3 hours of the same coverage and films being shown back to back over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
the news is on a loop, probably a 15-minute loop, and it goes over and over and over. I know exactly what you're saying. And
every 15 minutes is another commercial.
What I've been trying to do, though, is keep up on Mother Nature, Mother Nature, and the earthquake activity. And I'll go to the U.S. Geological Center, and there I'll see the activity of the earthquakes, and they change from day to day. And sometimes it bothers me because I don't get the information until a day and a half later. And what I have to do is I have to go to Europe and other earthquake monitoring stations to learn more about the real activities, because, they had an earthquake yesterday, 6 on the Richter scale, just off California.
Off where?
Off California.
Oh, really?
Nobody.
That was in the Pacific Ocean?
That's right, yes. And they also had one right there on the coast. It was, I think, a 5 on the Richter scale. There's a lot of activity over out on the Pacific coast, and also the Rocky Mountain area. And I'd say in the last month or so, we've had a lot of activity here on the East Coast and up to Central America. And I'm more interested in what's going on with the Earth and with the abnormalities of the sun, and with the physical changes of the rotations and the magnetics. It's causing some changes to ripples in the lower mantles of the Earth.
I guess that's
it's a natural cycle that goes on all the time, and you know it's something that we have to accept. And
do you think it's more than before, more than in the past 20 years?
Oh, yeah, I would say that, yes. I would say that.
I was reading an article yesterday, I believe, the day before, about the super volcanoes that are seem to be on the verge of exploding already. There's one in Oregon, I believe. There's one in, of course, Yellowstone. And there's another. There's some all around the world. That, and they call them super volcanoes because if they blow, which they have in the past, they could wipe out entire continents, okay? And wipe out entire continents with their dust.
And the ash and the clouds.
And the quakes and so on that would occur. And if that happened, I mean, with that ash, it would wipe out all vegetation, all communications, all sunlight for some time, and they could even push us into a ice age. So
here's the problem I'm having with this is because you know as I'm sometimes you know I'll wake up and that's the first thing I'll go to find out if there's been any earthquakes, and you know it's like I'm waiting for this thing to happen. I'm waiting for these predictions, if you'd want to call it that. I'm waiting for them to manifest, and I don't know if I should do this or not do this because I have second doubts sometimes. You know, maybe I'm riding this wave and holding this wave together, And maybe that's part of it.
George, that's an absolutely good question, because I've wondered the same thing. It's like I say, if you know, like that what we just read there, that if you think about it, and if you know, whatever we think now, basically
can happen.
So if everybody concentrates on death and destruction and super volcanoes and solar flares and everything else, you know, the odds are that may be what happens. But if everybody just concentrated on nothing happening, the world would go along fine, and everything would be peaceful, and the new age will come. Then, you know, that's what we will get as well. So I don't know.
Without having to think so much, I mean, sometimes I think I think too much, and I put too much into this, and you know,
yeah.
I don't know what to believe, but I do know that I have choices, and if I don't have time for it, I'm not going to put energy into it, and
right.
You know, I'm not blaming myself for causing this or adding fuel to the fire, but you know, I think that is part of this co-creation thing that maybe we have to experience or learn or go through, or you know, I don't know what is right, and sometimes
all of us do influence what's going on around us, and that's normal.
Sure, well.
We are co-creating, if you will, our own realities.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Second of the day.
I don't want to co-create earthquakes, that's for sure.
I personally think it's more important to focus right on the moment, like the Buddhists do.
Yeah.
I agree, yes, okay.
That's all that you have is right now.
Yeah.
You don't, yesterday is gone, and who knows about tomorrow, but it's right now that you have. And so when you get up in the morning, you should enjoy the smile of your dogs and your cats
and the people you're with.
And the people
yeah,
you're with.
And, you know, and just
enjoy that.
Day. Yeah, yeah.
But
the
media has created is they've created a huge distraction and punishment so that we can't enjoy the moment.
Yeah, because, I mean, every day, I mean, you get up and if you turn on television in the morning, first thing you hear about is some fire, you know, or some flood.
Six house fires,
yeah.
A shooting, and a couple of shootings in a couple of cities.
Homeless
people turned out homeless.
You know,
and misery. The media is in the misery business,
yeah.
Of spreading the misery, and so that people do not enjoy the moment in the beautiful world that we live in. And we do live in a beautiful world.
True. We have friends who've thrown their TV out. They just got rid of it. They don't have a television anymore.
I have to say, there was times in my life where I was one of those people. I couldn't wait to see the news on TV. I mean, I was in elephant training all the time, and I had to see and know this stuff. But you see, as time changed, and the manipulation of what I was being alluded to changed.
Yeah.
And I got
yeah.
sick of it, and now it's a point. I mean, it served a point, a purpose at one time, but I don't need that any longer. And
massive mind wash. It's a massive mind
control.
Game, you know. And,
it's mind control.
Again, without a doubt, yeah, mind control.
You know, and that's and as far as I'm concerned, you know, every time I, even though I look at it, I resist it in every way that I can. It's just that for some reason. They throw a Whitney Houston magical song at you, and that thing goes through your head for a week, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, they get you one way or the other. But you know, I'm seriously have thought more than once about tossing that thing out and never looking at another television set as long as I live. And I might be a better man for it, I don't know. But,
it's only got a different world now with computers.
Yeah, I know. I got my computer. I don't think I'd throw that out. I can decide what I really want to see on there. But, you know, as far as the TV, I only got so many channels. And it's like, you know.
Well, I think it's a nice commitment. We should all commit to enjoy the moment as it is.
Yeah.
And look for the beauty in the moment. I mean, that's all you have.
That's all you got.
You're right. And, you know, I gotta say something to you, Lola.
Lila.
Lola's your dog's name, George.
No. I'm sorry, Lila.
That's okay, George. I still love you. He loves his dog, though. It's really a compliment because I love that dog, too. She's great. Go ahead, George.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry about that.
George.
Oh, well. Anyway, I'm sure it was a good thought, but, you know, we've come right to the end of the show.
It was one of love, George.
I'm sorry,
yeah, I'm sure it was.
And I'm much of relief to you, but, you know, it's I'm looking forward to winding down. And Terrence McKenna talked about a winding down of novelty, and that's what we're up against right now, the winding down on December the 21st. But, you know,
we only got about a minute left, so if anybody wants to call here before we sign out, do that, and you can hear the rest of this program. Call in at 646-915-9505 in the next 1 minute.
When you sit down and you got a minute to yourself, imagine yourself, just close your eyes and imagine that you're driving a car, and on your left, your right hand, you turn it to your right, and you're going to your right. You could turn the car to the right. And if you, with your other hand, if you turn it to the left, just turn your hand to the left, you'll go left. Understand there's two energy fields that you have within your body that are going around all the time. One is going faster than the other. But understand one goes to the right and one goes to the left. And the one that we're looking at, the one that goes to the right, is the one that we see from, and which is part of our reality. And whatever we perceive from that reality ratchets back to us in the opposite direction from the left side. So
everybody,
instead, you got two different movements going on at once, and it's like movements in your elbow.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Look, folks, I'm going to say goodnight, Naughty Do, and God be with you, and I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, right, George. It was nice talking to you, and enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. God be with you, folks.
Yeah, right,
God
be with you, too.
Thanks,
good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday night.
And I hope you, too, enjoy the moment, because as the Buddhists say, that's all we have.
That's all we got. So good night, everyone.
Good night.